Good morning. This meeting of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee will please come to order. Today is Thursday, April 4th, and the time is 8:02 a.m. Members currently present include Representative Rivak, Representative Christ Tompkins, Representative Thompson, Representative Jackson, Co-Chair Hannon, and myself, Representative Drummond, also co-chair. We have a quorum to conduct business, and Representative Klayman has joined us. And before we begin, I'd like to remind everyone to silence your cell phones, except mine. I will be timing today. Today, our recording secretary is Lori Rowland, and Madison Truitt is our LIO moderator, assisting with teleconferencing support. Thank you both. My staff, Sarah Khalifi, is our committee aide. If you have any notes for others, please pass them through Sarah. We have another full schedule today, so I want to make sure we stay on track. Today we'll be hearing House Bill 81, Prohibit Plastic Retail Bags, carried by Representative Josephson. Then we will hear House Bill 60, Repealing Senior Benefits Payment Program from the Governor. My intention was to pass House Bill 32 out of committee today, but we're moving that bill to the schedule for next week in order to give enough time for our presenters and for public testimony on House Bill 60 today. First up, we have House Bill 81. My intention is to hear this bill with invited testimony today, then set the bill aside until our next meeting. Representative Josephson and your staff, please introduce yourselves for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Drummond. My name is Andy Josephson. I represent House District 17.
My name is Elise Sorenberg, staff to Representative Josephson.
Madam Chair, I'm going to be very brief, and I'm going to turn this over to Ms. Sorenberg. And just note that this bill was filed, I believe, in January of 2018 originally. It was modified from its original form. The form the committee has before it is sort of the third iteration. It made it through two committees last year and effectively to the gate of the Rules Committee. The impetus for this is we have in this world what I would call a scourge of single-use plastics. The poster child of that is plastic bags. If one walks out to 4th Street in the Judiciary Courtyard and stands at the beautiful statue of William Seward and turns to the left, you'll see a plastic bag that's been visibly there for all to see for a couple years now. It hasn't moved. Plastic bags are essentially kites. They're very good at being kites, in my opinion. I think that some people say, well, where does this end? Why are we picking on this industry and not others? We have to have a starting place. And note that this wasn't my idea. It's a national movement. It is, as Ms. Sorenberg will tell you, becoming a worldwide movement. And if it sounds a little bit inconvenient or odd to the committee, you will hear at your next committee meeting a remarkable array of testimony from disparate and far-reaching places, like Hooper Bay, like Cordova, like Anchorage, like Kodiak. The list goes on and on of people that are willing to be inconvenienced for our environment. And it's not just the visual impact, which offends me. It is the impact to our waterways and our wildlife in particular. So with that, I'd like to turn this over to Ms. Sorenberg.
Thank you. Co-chairs.
Repeat your name for the record. Thank you.
For the record, Elise Sorenberg, staff to Representative Josephson. Good morning, co-chairs Drummond and Hannon and members of the committee. So why is a plastic bag ban a good idea? Plastics don't belong in nature. At this current moment, plastic in nature is harmful to wildlife and is an especially salient issue relating to the marine environment. We've seen multiple news stories in the last month relating to whales dying of ingesting massive quantities of plastics. In Alaska, there's also been at least one recorded death of a northern fur seal due to entanglement on the loop of a plastic bag handle. In my past life, I was an early childhood educator working at an outdoor summer program. I am aware that the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has a curriculum completely based around marine debris and plastic issues called Lose the Loop. this is a huge issue for this national agency. So a plastic bag ban, it's a small but significant step that the state of Alaska can take in addressing the global plastics problem and the issue of single-use plastics in general. So here's the sponsor of the bill looking unpleased with a plastic bag found while kayaking. So why plastic bags? They're a major plastic offender. They're so lightweight, Representative Josephson touched on this, but they transport very easily in both wind and water. So a shift in habit will need to occur. However, we've seen many communities across the state, across the nation, and across the world adapt to this change in paradigm already. So here's a little diagram going a little bit more in depth onto how plastic interacts with the ecosystem. So plastic bags are one source of plastic contamination in our food supply. The contamination level increases with each trophic level in the food chain. And these persistent organic pollutants accumulate, especially in fatty tissue. So this makes me think of salmon, makes me think of whales and other marine mammals that subsistence communities depend on. Why a ban? So Representative Josephson touched on this a little bit. Last year, the initial itineration of this was having some sort of fee attached to plastic bags. Bans are more common across the board. And stores are already subsidizing disposable bag costs. They're charging more for goods purchased. So there's an estimated hidden cost of $25 to $50 per person per year. Bags aren't as free as they seem. And then there's the picture taken by Miss Delaney last year. And that bag is still in that tree. So here's international policy trends. There are more than 40 countries that have plastic bag bans. And that number continues to rise. Bangladesh was the first country to impose a ban in 2002. Kenya has the strictest bag ban. And they've shown that this has worked. One article in The Guardian reported that this ban has sparked interest in neighboring countries. And the once ubiquitous issue of plastic bag litter is in decline in Kenya. There's also less litter and fewer fishermen pulling bags in their nets on Lake Victoria. At the list on the bottom of this slide, you'll notice that many plastic bag bans were enacted last year. Many are scheduled to be enacted this year, and there are some scheduled in the next couple of years. It's worth noting, it's not mentioned on this slide, but it's definitely worth noting that the European Union has gone even further and has passed a ban not just on plastic bags, but on a broad array of single-use plastic items that will go into effect in 2021. So here's policy trends in the lower 48. This past week, New York became the second state to fully ban plastic bags. California was the first state to do this on a statewide level, and Hawaii has a de facto ban. All of the municipalities in Hawaii already banned bags, but they don't have any statewide law relating to that. All the other states listed on here, and Alaska should be listed on this slide now that I'm thinking about it, because we have many, many municipalities that ban bags, but all the other states listed have some municipalities and local governments that ban bags. So in Alaska, 17 communities no longer allow plastic bags. Denali Borough and Homer are also considering bag bans. In Homer, it's gone back and forth for several years, and they will have that on their ballot this year. So Anchorage has a bag ban in place that will go into effect in September. And then what's interesting about this list is all of the communities with a star next to them, there's no formal resolution or ordinance in these communities. These are communities that voluntarily stopped using plastic bags out of concern for environmental health. So these are some interesting things communities across the state have done. Some of my favorites on here are the crocheting plastic bags into new reusable plastic bags. What are not listed on this list that I found out, there's a group called Boomerang Bags. It's a national movement to make reusable bags or provide reusable bags or share reusable bags. There's a movement in many localities called Take a Bag, Leave a Bag, where essentially there'll be a tree of reusable bags that you'll bring in your reusable bags, all the totes sitting in your closet, and donate them, and then they get sanitized. And if you are at the grocery store and you forgot your reusable bag, you can borrow one and then bring back the bags you aren't using. And that's worked very well in Los Angeles and a couple other places. My alma mater, Valdez High School, has an environmental club now, and they've been making bags out of old T-shirts. So these creative solutions show that you can reuse materials and gets to the root of how a carbon footprint can be reduced in this issue as well. So one of the major issues, and we have invited testimony who will speak to this issue, is ruminant ingestion of plastic. So moose and caribou ingesting plastic bags and dying. This was a big motivation for the Mat-Su ban. And it illustrates that this is not just a coastal problem. So there is a experimental farm where there's caribou that are fistulated. That means they have a hole cut in their side. And there has been, and there's a video that I can give you, plastic found in the digestive tracts of these caribou. And Carol Montgomery, who hopefully is on the line, will talk about that a little more. So getting into the meat of the bill, so this has to do with AS 46.06.145. Section A establishes a ban on retail sellers. Section B lays out exceptions to the legislation. So there are exceptions in this bill included for things such as the bags that contain produce or meat, newspaper bags, bags for flowers. Section C sets fines. The fines are $250 for the first violation, $500 for the second violation within a calendar year, and $750 for each additional violation beyond the second in a calendar year. Section D defines disposable chopping bag, retail seller, and reusable bag. It's worth noting that reusable bag can be a plastic bag. It just has to be more than 4 mils thick. So Section 2 of the bill provides an effective date of January 2021, which would ideally give retailers time to adapt and use back stocks of plastic bags they have. So, questions?
All right. Thank you, Ms. Sorum Burke and Representative Josephson. Are there any questions from the committee for the sponsor at this time? Representative Klayman.
Either for your aide or Representative Josephson, we're seeing across Alaska, as shown by the slide, more and more communities adopting a plastic bag ban on their own. Why should we as a state government take action when it seems our local communities are taking that very action?
Through the chair, Representative Klayman. Many communities are taking actions, but in Alaska we have many communities that lack municipal government as well. We have communities who are not incorporated who this could really benefit.
Follow up?
Go ahead, Representative Klayman.
One of the issues that arose in Anchorage was retailers that had actually apparently purchased quite a volume of plastic bags. And I think in the Anchorage ban, they tried to accommodate that by kind of having a phase-in process, if you will, so that they didn't have retailers that had already spent the money in plastic bags didn't suddenly find themselves literally holding the bags. How do you propose to deal with that issue?
Ideally, through an effective date that would allow for retailers to use the stock they already have. In Anchorage, I know they had to push back their effective date till this September in order to allow for retailers to use their stock.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Klayman and Police. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In my lifetime, I have now came full circle. The environmentalists were going after paper bags back when I was young because we were cutting down trees, and they were encouraging the use of plastic bags back then, and that's when it all turned around. We don't have plastic paper bags anymore in stores. We have plastic. I can understand the concern, but I'm a little concerned about your exceptions on here. There'll still be plastic bags for grains or different things you buy in bulk and things like that. So we aren't there'll be a cross use of these bags, and could somebody get caught in the mix of this and say, you're using a plastic bag, we're gonna fine you $750. This is to me a little bit confusing as to how you're gonna separate allowed use and non allowed use, and also the question, well, he asked the question already about how do you phase them out of use, but at the same time, you're going to have people that will cross-use them, and is somebody going to get fined for doing that? That's where I get confused on the exceptions in here.
I think, and I'll defer to Ms. Sorenberg, but I think that the difference between the types of bags is so readily apparent that it won't become an issue, but I'll defer to you, Ms. Sorenberg, on that.
Through the chair, Representative Thompson. On that topic, we sought to address that exact issue in how we defined disposable plastic shopping bag, which means a bag made exclusively or partially of plastic other than a reusable bag. And then we actually tried to address very clearly what the exceptions were and what a reusable bag was as well. I don't know if that fully answers the question, but kind of a follow-up on the paper issue. Paper is in no way environmentally benign. It's still an issue. Many municipalities, Anchorage included, and the state of New York in their legislation has imposed a fee for paper bag use. So they've banned plastic and then additionally imposed a however many cent fee. For paper bags, I guess the one thing you can say about them is that they do biodegrade, unlike plastic bags. Thank you.
Any further questions? Okay, seeing none at this time, we have some invited testimony on this bill from Carol Montgomery of the Matsu Zero Waste Coalition and Eve Downing, Alaska Youth for Environmental Action. I'm going to ask you both to keep your testimony to 2 minutes. Ms. Montgomery, are you on the line?
Yes, hello?
Yes, good morning. If you would put your name and affiliation on the record, and please begin your testimony.
Okay, I'm Carol Montgomery, and I'm with the Matsu Zero Waste Coalition, chair of the Plastic Bag Committee.
Okay, Ms. Montgomery?
Yes.
You're very hard to hear. Are you on a speakerphone?
I am, and I just shut it off. Is that better?
That's much better. Thank you. Please proceed.
Okay. So we got started because a class of second graders came to the recycling center for a field trip, and one of the kids started talking about how he watched Dr. Collins at the Matanuska Experiment Farm pulled plastic bags out of his research moose, because they have a fistula in the side where they take samples from their rumen. And so that was the first that we even knew about this. And so he was just real wide-eyed and shocked. And so we looked into it, and I talked to Dr. Collins, and he said that he had lost a couple of caribou before he figured out what was going on. And one time he pulled a wedge of plastic bags out of a caribou that was as big as a football. So we went to the farm and we did that short video where it shows him now with his moose. He's seeing them in the stomach contents of the moose. He's picking out plastic. So we asked around at local farms, the Williams Reindeer Farm, the Agate Inn has a small herd. They have lost many reindeer due to plastic bag obstruction. And those are all necropsy-confirmed deaths. It's rare for wild animals to get necropsies because it's so expensive. So I called Kimberly Beckman in Fairbanks, who's a fishing game vet in Fairbanks, And she was able to confirm a muskox calf who was asphyxiated on a plastic bag and a turtle from the Sea Life Center who died from plastic bag ingestion. So anyway, we got on this and we started going around to community groups and trying to spread awareness about what was going on. And people were very enthusiastic. They just really encouraged us to go forward. We went to community councils, Rotaries, Chamber of Commerce. People gave us money. We ran a few radio spots, and we used the money to buy bags for people to hand out in grocery stores. Mayor Cottle took this on in Wasilla, and the public testimony was overwhelmingly in favor, 47-1 in the written testimony. The written testimony, and in public testimony, it was 2-1 in favor. And then the city council voted 5-1 to ban them. Channel 11 did a survey. They found that 75% were in favor of extending the bag to Anchorage.
Ms. Montgomery?
It was overwhelming. Yes.
Please summarize your testimony.
Okay. So there's been overwhelming support. It's been almost a year for Wasilla. It's been 3 months now for Palmer. And it's cleaner. We're in the middle of a windstorm right now, and you don't see nearly as many plastic bags stuck in the parking lots of the grocery stores in the brush there. It's going well. There is hardly any complaints. Mayor Cottle said that the train station there, the depot, they used to get complaints from Princess tourists because the tourists would come in and see this nightmare trash all along the rail line there, and he said that's already much better. So it's going really well. It's no big deal. All I have to say, the bottom line is it's really no big deal. Everyone's adjusted.
Great. Thank you. I have a question for you. I've heard now the moose with a fistula referred to a couple of times. Is that an intentional, I guess it's a hole in the side of the moose that's at the, if you could explain that just a little bit more. And if that was not available to this animal, would the animal have a problem with plastic in its rumen?
Yes. Like I said, he had lost two caribou before he realized what was going on. He sampled stomach contents, and that's the way he does it. It's really fascinating to go there. He can stick his hand right into the side of the animal and pull. I guess he uses a syringe to pull out the stomach contents. And, yes, there are many of the animals have died, like on the reindeer farms. They don't have that option. The Agat Inn just told us recently that another animal, one of their reindeer, it was actually a heart attack because there were so many bags stuck in its rumen that it actually put pressure on the heart, and that's how the animal died. And they're digging up bags that are under the ground from stores that have closed that we don't even recognize the names of, but the bags are still there in the ground, and the reindeer paw through the ground and get them, even though they try so hard to keep that area clean.
Wow, okay, thank you.
So it's really hard to control.
Thank you, ma'am. Any additional questions for this testifier? Okay, seeing none, let's go on to Eve Downing. Eve, are you with us?
Hi.
Please go ahead and put your name and affiliation on the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
My name is Eve Downing. I'm from Solana, Alaska, and I'm representing Alaska Youth for Environmental Action. I'm calling in support of HB 81. Anchorage, Bethel, Cordova, Wasilla, and so many other communities have passed these ordinances that ban plastic bags. And coming from a community which has banned plastic bags, I can say that the plastic bag ban has positively impacted my community. The transition was very smooth. Most community members have gotten into the habit of bringing a reusable bag to the store with them, and many of which that I've talked to have said that they just needed a push to remember to bring in reusable bags. There are no longer plastic bags floating around on the streets or have gotten stuck in trees. And whenever I go travel to another town that doesn't have the ban, I'm always surprised because plastic bags just seem to be a tool of the past. And as a community that is dependent upon the tourism we get every summer, having plastic bags floating around, what is supposed to be, you know, this pristine last frontier, has it's definitely a detriment to the beauty of our community. On top of the visual impacts, as was outlined before, single-use plastic bags are incredibly detrimental to the wildlife that surrounds Soldotna. Across the state, many animals have died from consuming plastic bags. And fishing is also a really incredible and important part of Soldotna's community and economy. But plastic bags are getting blown in the streams, rivers, as well as the ocean. And when single-use plastic bags are in waterways, fish and other marine creatures, many animals use the bags as food and eat the bags, which can block their digestive tract and cause them to starve to death. When fish populations are lowering now, now seems the correct time to take measures to try and preserve Alaska salmon population. And the animals that don't die from the consumption of the plastic bags absorb harmful chemicals, which when caught and eaten at the dinner table can get transferred to the humans that consume them. And so I just think banning bags is a step towards being conscious of the impact that we have on the environment around us, as well as a step towards a sustainable future for Alaska. In conclusion, I stand in support of H381 and would like to thank you for taking your time to listen to my testimony.
Thank you very much, Ms. Downing. Any questions for the testifier? And I'm sorry, I think it wasn't clear to me. Are you in Soldotna?
Yes, I am.
And the bag applies to the ban in Soldotna applies to just the Soldotna area?
Yes, just Soldotna.
Okay. Thank you very much. Seeing no further questions from the committee this morning, I'm going to set this bill aside until our next meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Representative Josephson and aide. Next up, we have House Bill 60, Repealing Senior Benefits Payment Program. My intention is to hear this bill today and give the public a chance to weigh in on what the impact of House Bill 60 would be. I want to note for the committee that last year, House Bill 236, Extend Senior Benefits Payment Program, passed both the House and the Senate nearly unanimously with bipartisan support. It had 19 co-sponsors in the House and 16 cross-sponsors in the Senate. The bill extended the senior benefits program until 2024. We want to hear directly from the administration on what they are trying to accomplish by taking away these benefits from over 11,000 low-income elders and seniors in our state who are usually on a fixed income and can't just go out and get a job to make up for the loss of these benefits every month. First, we're going to hear a brief presentation on the senior benefits program from Shonda O'Brien, Director of Public Assistance, for the Department of Health and Social Services. Ms. O'Brien, please come to the table, introduce yourself for the record, and proceed with your testimony. Good morning.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Shonda O'Brien. I'm the Director for Public Assistance. I believe you have some handouts that we sent out to the committee yesterday that kind of highlight for you the population being served and some of the census information about where they're located. Is that not loud enough? Okay. Thank you. So the first handout that you have in front of you about the program gives you some highlights of the program itself, as well as some of the historical information about the evolution of the program over the last several years. So the first page gives you the overview of the payment scale, the different levels in the payment scale, as well as some of the eligibility criteria for the people who are participating in the program. Then at the very bottom of the page, we currently have last year's eligibility information as to what the income limits are for the program. That gets updated every year on April 1st, so we'll have an updated handout for that once we've updated our information. It's only been a couple of days, so we're still in the process of updating that. The second page of that handout gives you historical information that breaks out that same detail for the past several years, going back to 2016, just to give you kind of an overview of what the income limits have been historically for people that are participating in the program, as well as where we've had to reduce the benefit payment level for the lowest tier in the program to accommodate what's been budgeted for the fiscal year. And so you'll see that for the past several years, we've had to lower that lowest payment amount from 125 down to another amount to accommodate what's been budgeted for the entire fiscal year. And then finally, the last page of the handout gives you the census information of the recipients as of December 2018, kind of where folks reside in the communities who are in the program now, and the historical, the details of the historical effects of the program since it went into effect. And I don't know if you want me to stop for questions as I go.
Let's see. Any questions yet from the committee? Seeing none, continue.
Sure. So additional information in the handouts, we're just more giving you a perspective of the dollars being spent by the benefit tiers within the program. As I mentioned, we have been paying the lowest tier of the program $76 in place of the $125 that's usually allotted to that payment category. You'll see that we have about 4,731 people that are participating at that lowest tier. Based on our regulations, we're able to reduce or eliminate that lowest tier to allow for the payments to continue for folks who have a higher need for the funds. We have approximately 11,000 participants in the program. About 3,000 of those participants don't receive benefits in any other program that we operate or administer. The remaining approximately 9,000 or so folks might be eligible for other programs that we administer, such as SNAP or adult public assistance or both.
Okay. Is that Representative Christ-Tompkins? Question.
Yes. I mean, I've looked at the packet and all very helpful information, although as best I can tell, and maybe I'm missing it, no information as to why this is being proposed. Why propose the elimination of the senior benefit program?
Through the chair, I'm Representative Christ-Tompkins. The administration is in a tough position for having to find places where we have general fund spending that can be eliminated without a lot of regulation or other things. In this case, we will have to, the bill is being introduced to reduce or eliminate the program entirely. This is an entirely general fund funded program. And so there aren't a lot of places within our budget that have programs that are funded 100% with general funds. And so to find areas that can be eliminated, this was one of those areas.
Follow up.
I'm just trying to imagine who drew the short straw in the administration to present this bill. And I would love to see the commissioner here next time to explain the administration's perspective why the financial benefit of eliminating this program is worth the hardship it would impose on Alaska seniors. In your, I guess, professional perspective, I have two questions. How long have you been in this present position? And from your time in this position and administering these programs and being familiar with beneficiaries and the level of need they have, what do you think the impact of eliminating this program would be?
Sure. Through the chair, Representative Christ-Tompkins, I was appointed into this position in January. I've been with the Department of with Health and Social Services for about 13 years. I believe that the impact is inevitable, that there will be an impact. As was mentioned previously, these are dollars going to people in the communities who don't maybe have other means available to them. To the degree that some folks are participating in other programs like our SNAP program and the Adult Public Assistance Program, those benefits can be adjusted for the loss in income for the Senior Benefits Program. And so to the degree that some of those recipients might see an increase to their food stamps or to their adult public assistance benefits, the division will be reviewing those cases should this bill pass.
Thank you. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I find it kind of hard to go after our most vulnerable population, the elderly. A lot of these, you look at their amount of income they have, it is super low to get to the $250 a month. And it's either food or medications that they're going to have to buy. And without this, there's a lot of them going to really be suffering trying to get their medications paid for or other items like that. So this one I'm having a hard time adjusting to or agreeing with at this time. Are you hearing from a lot of advocacy groups around the state on the effects that this will have on seniors?
Through the chair, Representative Thompson, we are hearing from some of the advocacy groups. We also have feedback from recipients themselves.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Thompson. Representative Hannon and then Representative Klayman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. O'Brien, could you overlay with the Senior Benefit Program food stamps and you said elderly public assistance? Because when I look at the chart for senior benefits, I guess I just presume that all of them with those low income levels would already be eligible for those programs. So can you show me the intersect between the financial thresholds for those folks?
Sure. Through the chair, Representative Hannon, we have a separate handout that I can send to you that kind of gives some examples of how some of those impacts would look, what the different criteria are. And then if you would like, we could also provide to you kind of the different income categories. Some of our programs have different eligibility criteria as far as assets and things that you can have that don't count towards your income. And so that's where you might not be seeing some of those details where it does appear that the income itself is fairly low, but there may be other things that are preventing folks from being eligible for those other programs.
Follow up. So right now on the Senior Benefits Program, if someone owns their own home, let's say they're mortgage free, but they still got to pay taxes on it, that's not relevant in the income here for Senior Benefits, but it would be for food stamps?
Right. So through the chair, Representative Hannon, the first page kind of gives you just a summary level overview of the eligibility criteria. So in order to be eligible, it's just based on your annual gross income before any of your other anything else might be taken into consideration. Assets are not included, such as your savings, but you could own your own home. So there are some other finer details, and I'd be happy to provide you guys with more detail on that if you'd like.
Okay. Could I give you
follow-up.
An example from someone who wrote into the committee, and this person receives senior benefits, has $1,100 a month in income, and has a $19 in food stamps a month. So some of our food stamp eligibility is that low?
Yes, ma'am.
But if they lost at $1,100 a month, they are probably receiving our $175 a month payment in senior benefits. Would their food stamp eligibility increase by up to $175 a month?
Through the chair, Representative Hannon, they won't receive an incrementally adjusted increase to their food stamps, but their eligibility would change, and so they would receive an increase, just not dollar for dollar.
Follow up.
Could you give me an example? I mean, $19 in food stamps per month was astoundingly, I thought it was a typo. And of course we verified that no, that was their eligibility benefit. So could you give me another example of what a typical impoverished senior level of food stamps could be? I mean, so they're incremental. Is the next, below 20, I assume this is the lowest. But do we have a lower level that somebody's receiving less than $19 a month for food stamps? But
I would need
the
to
highest?
Follow up with you on in the committee on the details of the different payment levels within the SNAP program. I'm not sure if there are lower levels or not, and then we could also provide you with an overview of how the eligibility scale looks as far as the different programs and how that interacts with the others.
I guess it's just one of those things that I'm embarrassed by my ignorance of the level. When we hear food stamps, I guess there's a presumption that it's enough money to buy food. And as this person articulates, that $19 buys them ramen. And that they don't, I'm too old to hunt and fish, so I don't eat meat or fish. And I can buy some ramen, and that's it. And I can't imagine what, how that must feel to look at, you know, they're $1,100 a month, including their senior benefits, and that's all they get, and what kind of hopelessness that would present to someone who, again, they're not going to, they can't hunt and fish, let alone get a job that's going to produce any income that provides for any improvement of their outcome. So I guess I am horrified at my level of ignorance about how little support we give to people who are living on the margins. And more information would be helpful, but I'm not sure it will be satisfying.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. O'Brien. If you'd get that additional information to my office, I'll make sure the committee gets it.
Right.
Thank you. Representative Klayman and then Representative Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is this an area where if the legislature chooses not to make these proposed statutory changes that the administration's proposed budget cut in this area can't go through?
Through the Chair, Representative Klayman, it's already been reduced out of the budget, so there would have to be some action to put the funds back into the budget.
Follow-up?
Go ahead.
If the administration didn't provide those funds, or, for example, if the legislature put the money back in, would the governor be violating the law if he tried to line item veto the money back out if this bill didn't pass?
Through the Chair, Representative Klayman, I'm not sure about the legalities of that myself.
And then the one more follow-up.
Follow-up.
Is this just another area where the governor's highest priority is a $3,000 dividend, and so to make that $3,000 dividend, we have to make these cuts that are reflected in this proposed legislative change?
Through the Chair, Representative Klayman, the reduction to the program was the administration's effort to reduce the budget to balance with our revenues.
Follow-up. So that it could meet the governor's priority that the $3,000 dividend is more important than seniors.
Through the chair, I believe the way that it was presented or has been presented is that we are reducing our general fund spend to align with our revenue collections, what revenues that we have in the state.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will agree with Representative Christ Tompkins that I'm disappointed that the commissioner is not here, and I believe this woman drew the short straw.
Thank you, Representative Klayman. Representative Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So you say 11,000 and a half have as the total of recipients, and 3,000 have no other assistance. Will there be, is there other programs that will be able to assist the 3,000 that currently have no other assistance?
Through the Chair, Representative Jackson, there's a possibility that those folks may become eligible for other programs that they're currently not eligible for. So the loss in that benefit amount may make them eligible for SNAP or adult public assistance at that point in time. So when that information is being reviewed, we'll look at the eligibility categories and see if they're eligible, they would apply for the programs that they're not currently participating in, and we'll review that eligibility at that time.
Follow-up. Okay, so I'm just saying this because the PFD keeps coming up, and it breaks my heart that they didn't receive funds that they could have received in the last 2 years. And I wouldn't want to see money that they can be receiving that make a huge difference when you're looking at $19 for food stamps, how much food they can actually stock up on, and medications. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Jackson. Any further questions for Ms. O'Brien at this time? I actually have one. It sounds like if these cuts actually go through and the department has to assess potential recipients for other sources of benefits, it doesn't sound like it'll save a lot of time in terms of staff time. Has there been any thought given to the cost of the department of helping these past recipients or potentially soon to be past recipients, this is hard to talk about, find other sources of assistance?
Madam Chair, as far as what we're capable of assisting folks with in identifying other resources, we're fairly limited in the division on that. There are other groups within the department who are more aligned with that initiative or with helping and assisting folks find other resources. The Division of Public Assistance is not really equipped for doing that kind of work. So we will be looking at the eligibility information and providing notification to those recipients of where their eligibility is with regard to SNAP and the adult public assistance benefits. But as far as any other resources available to them, we currently are not doing that kind of outreach in the division.
And I assume that this proposed cut to benefits would also include a cut to staff that currently administers this program. How many staff?
So there's
a
fiscal note with reducing staffing levels within the division of three full-time employees at this time. We've in the past the program had been staffed at a higher level, and through some of the process redesign efforts the division has undergone, they've been able to reduce the number of staff that are currently administering the program to three. So it's proposed that we would eliminate three positions, and then some of the costs for administering the program, such as mailing out warrants and things of that nature, we'll also see a reduction there.
Warrant being a check,
yes,
in other words. All right. Seeing no additional questions at this time, thank you for your testimony and for coming before the committee today. And I will echo Representative Klayman's concern that the commissioner has not been available for many hearings, including this one. I'm now going to open public testimony on House Bill 60. I'm going to set a time limit of 2 minutes for each testimony. We have 27 people currently signed up to testify, so we'll take just about the next hour to hear all of them at 27 minutes apiece. Excuse me, at 2 minutes apiece. I hope not. I don't want to take the rest of the week.
At least we only have to hear two people at 27 minutes.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you. All right. Public testimony is open. I have a number of people online. We will start with the Anchorage LIO. Faith Myers, are you with us this morning?
Yes, I am, Madam Chair.
Okay, please put your name. Please put your name and affiliation on the record and proceed with your testimony. And I'll let you have 2 minutes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Thank you. Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Faith Myers. I volunteer as a mental health advocate, and I am a senior. I do not support House Bill 60. The state senior benefits program should not be discontinued. Senior benefits are means tested. The majority of the recipients are listed at or below the poverty level. Some have disabilities. I myself have a disability and receive senior benefits, and I live at the poverty level. I can assert there is a connection between being able to pay bills and mental health. I only received $931 from Social Security. The adult public assistance and the senior benefits program have to supplement that, but I do not receive much more than the poverty level amount of income. So I am dependent on senior benefits to pay my bills. I can assert there is a connection between being able to pay bills and mental health. As long as the senior benefits program is means tested, it should be continued. I do not support the passage of House Bill 60. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Ken Helander, are you on the phone?
I am.
Thank you, sir. Name and affiliation and proceed with your 2 minutes.
Thank you, Representative Drummond. I'm Ken Helander, the Advocacy Director for AARP Alaska, our state's largest membership organization with nearly 85,000 members. Today I'm here to speak in opposition to the governor's bill to repeal the senior benefits program. And I want to just say that my comments here are a follow-up to a lengthy op-ed that was published in the Anchorage Daily News a few weeks ago that spells out more of what the impact of this program being repealed would be. About 4 years ago, the legislature reduced the budget for senior benefits, resulting in a loss of about $49 a month for beneficiaries in the higher income tier, from $125 to $76 a month. This represents nearly $600 a year lost to those beneficiaries. Our office started getting phone calls from panicked seniors who were fearful of what that loss would mean to their lives. I've never forgotten those calls, and they motivate me to advocate for senior benefits to the best of my ability. 2 summers ago, as the senior benefits program was up for reauthorization, Representative Sponholz and then Representative Kawasaki held an informal listening session on behalf of the House HES Committee. For more than 3 hours, more than 50 people called in from every part of the state to talk about what the senior benefits program means for them. My takeaway from hearing their comments was that this money, as small of an amount as it is used by each recipient within their own life situation to help them live independently with purpose, to maintain their health, and ultimately to make a difference in the community of people around them. One woman called to say that her $76 a month allowed her to keep her car running. She said she was the only one in her circle of friends who still had a car. With that car, she was able to meet not only her own transportation needs, but also to help her friends and neighbors who needed to get to the doctor or to the grocery store. In fact, she was the transportation system for her individual community. Others told similar stories, stories that reflected each beneficiary's determination not just to get a pittance of support from the state, but more importantly, to always try to be a help to the people around them.
Mr. Helander, please summarize.
Because if her car were to become inoperable, many people would have lost transportation. Many would not be able to get to the store to buy the food that their own benefit allowed for them and that they used to make and share meals with their own individual community. She might be the nutrition program for the people around her.
Mr. Helander?
Or the one to visit the sick and lonely or to get to church or volunteer work. This isn't about a handout. It's about an investment that allows older, albeit materially poor Alaskans to prevent being poor in spirit. They are already...
Mr. Helander, please summarize.
...help available. The bottom rung before becoming inevitably more expensive if they can no longer be on their own. The senior benefits program is an investment with great return that we should carefully protect because the cost of losing it would be ever so much greater. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Helander. Mary Geddes in Anchorage at the LIO. Are you with us?
Yes. Good morning.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify this morning. I'm an Alaskan of 35 years standing. I wish to register my strong opposition to House Bill 60. which proposes to repeal the senior benefits program. I believe that the program, which provides financial support to eligible elders, is a crucial needs-based source of support for many individuals with chronic health problems, mental illness, dementia, and other disabilities. The solution to a budget, to our budget situation, cannot be to kick 11,000 low-income seniors to the proverbial curb. Please reject this proposal. Thank you for the opportunity to testify this morning.
Thank you very much, Ms. Geddes. Laura Bonner in Anchorage, are you with us?
Yes, good morning.
Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
My name is Laura Bonner. I'm retired, and I've lived in Alaska since 1972. So thank you for hearing the testimony on this. This is an outrageous bill. I oppose it adamantly. I've been fortunate that I've never been eligible for the program. Senior benefits program would cause those who are vulnerable to fall further into poverty. Many are women who worked in low-paying jobs, jobs that didn't pay into Social Security, or left employment early, or never had the opportunity to make any money. They may be taking care of a loved one, but it affects men too. I ask you, can you live on under $1,000 a month, especially if you're battling a chronic illness or condition? What would you choose to pay for? Life-saving meds, food, heat, transportation to health care? Malnutrition is common in some senior populations. It's unconscionable to eliminate this and other programs that serve the vulnerable and pay tax credits to the wealthiest corporations in the world. There's been little analysis, according to the commissioner's delegated person to that presented it to you, and said it was the easiest, one of the easier cut programs to cut. I urge you to just kill this bill because it's bad for Alaska. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much, Ms. Bonner. I'll take one more from Anchorage, and then we'll move to another LIO. Everyone, please stay on the line. Roberta Stevens in Anchorage, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead. Name and affiliation on the record.
I've been in Alaska since 1948, and although I do not receive the senior benefit, I'm aware of many of my friends and neighbors that do, that are being faced with possible homelessness, inability to pay for medicine, and it's very frightening for folks that are unable to work because of age or health, having this small amount of money taken away from them entirely, taking away their independence, and I don't know where they're going to go when they lose their homes, when they lose their apartment. I'm totally against this. Not what I expected from Alaskans, and I hope you kill the bill quickly and put it out of its misery. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Stevens. Let's go to the Homer LIO. Karen Kelly, are you on the line?
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. First of all, I want to thank you for allowing this testimony. My name is Karen Kelly, and I'm representing Homer Senior Citizens Incorporated. We have 450 members for the Homer area. I want to point out that this bill affects the great pioneers and builders of our state. Not supporting them during their vulnerable time is disrespectful and irresponsible of us as younger adults. Most of the seniors that receive this, if they are to lose this benefit, the first thing they're going to do is reduce other spending. That will correlate to food, housing, heat, or medications. More likely, they will reduce their food. The loss of proper nutrition directly correlates to higher costs in medical. Thus, we will be transferring the proposed savings into the medical system. The average senior is 75 years old and lives on a limited income, and they often have chronic health conditions. If we as a state follow this, then we are being disrespectful to the people who built the state that we get to enjoy their efforts. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Appreciate it. Jim Hornaday in Homer, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. My name is Jim Hornaday, and I'm speaking for myself, although I do serve on the Senior Citizen Board, the College Board, and the Bay Reserve Board. I oppose the removal of the senior benefits. These are the most needy people in Alaska. This would, in effect, cause a number of seniors to miss meals, and I don't think we should do that. We also don't want to close our schools, and we don't want to have our college campus closed. Please consider additional revenues in addition to the cutting. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your brevity. All right, let's go off-net. I have Delbert Pungawiwi in Savunga. Are you on the phone, sir? Delbert Pungawiwi, off-net, are you there? Hello?
No.
Is that Delbert Pungawiwi?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Please put your name and affiliation on the record, and go ahead. You have 2 minutes.
Okay. My name is Delbert Pungawiwi. I'm from Savunga, Alaska. Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members. I just wanted to speak on behalf of the Native Village of Savunga and in respect to our senior citizens, all our elders in the state, especially for those in the rural communities, in remote communities. The high cost of living in remote and rural communities is really astronomical, and the elders are really depend on their benefits. And my highest respect to our senior citizens and our elders who carried us through the hardest times in our past, and thanks to them we are all here. That we must not forget all their hard work that they did for all of us, and pay our respects to them as our culture taught us how to respect and serve our elders who carried us through the hardest times in our history. And I thank you very much for that, for this testimony, and God bless to all. And on behalf of all the senior citizens and our elders in our state, repealing the senior citizens' benefit, I thank you very much, and God bless to all.
Thank you very much, sir. David Blacketer in Kodiak, are you on the line, sir?
Yes. Good morning, Madam Chair.
Yes, please name and affiliation on the record. You have 2 minutes, sir.
This is David Blacketer. I'm from Kodiak. My wife and I, we are live on my Social Security, and I'm 83. My wife is 79, and we are in the top tier, or tier three, which we do receive each $76 a month, which is helpful, very helpful. But a couple of years ago, when they reduced that tier from 125 to 76, we had to tighten the belt some more, and we had to make some adjustments to our budget, and we tightened our belt up another notch or two, and we basically use in our budget, we plan for that our rent is due the first of the month, or Social Security comes the third, and so we to pay our rent on the first month, so we don't have to pay a penalty of late fees, that we use the senior benefits. That's a total of $152 for both of us a month to help pay for the rent, which is due the first. And we're very thankful for it. Other times we need to use money for a car repair, which we need to get it fixed so we can go to doctors, groceries, et cetera, et cetera. Now I want to switch gears. I want to speak here for the Alaska Commission on Aging. I'm the immediate past chair, and the Commission on Aging definitely wants you to kill or put down this bill, HB 60. Last year you okayed the HB Bill 236, restoring it for net through 2024, or continue to 2024, and you also replaced the top tier to a full amount. And like the previously said, that unanimously by the Senate and the legislature, representatives. So we urge you, both myself and my wife personally, and I'm sure a lot of other seniors in Alaska that are on this, and some that aren't on it but need it. And also for the commission,
please summarize, sir.
Don't pass this bill. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you very much, sir. David Otness in Cordova, are you on the line with us?
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning, sir.
Members of the committee. My name is David Otness. I'm a 12-year resident of Cordova and an overall 68-year resident of Alaska, third generation. And I've watched our society change over the course of territorial days till now, pre-oil and many other changes that we are now up against. But I, as an aside, I must state I'm amazed that there are only three people working, if I heard correctly, processing these 11, 12,000 applications. That in itself says something to state workers really taking on a load. But the larger part of what I'd like to state is we have revenue in abundance if we are only willing to go back 5 years to when 2014's SB 21 was put into effect for a million barrels a day. And these ongoing oil tax credits, it's just such a huge slap in the face to Alaskans that this governor would choose to reward stockholders, largely hedge funds, back east and worldwide, rather than to allow Alaskans to maintain themselves in dignity in their final years. It's just stunning that we allow this to go on, and for shame that this bill ever passed, because what it did to us, it brought us right to this brink, and now they're coming for more. That said, hearing a $20 food stamps SNAP benefits, do you realize how far that goes or doesn't go in remote places? There's such a disparity in buying power to begin with. But I mean, it's just another slap in the face. And now I understand the Trump administration.
Please summarize, Mr. Otness.
Cut it even further. But to finish off, I would heartily recommend to anybody listening in to read an editorial in yesterday's Juno Empire. That might give a better overview of exactly where we are and what this governor is trying to do to us as a state. It explains
Please summarize, Mr. Otness.
Okay, I just want to say that we need to understand our state constitution and how it actually works for our benefit and not private corporations. Thank you very much for allowing me to testify.
Thank you very much. All right, next we'll go to Mike Coons in Palmer. Mr. Coons, are you on the phone with us?
Yes, my name is Mike Coons. I wear multiple hats as president of the Greater Alaska Chapter at AMAC, and I will not filibuster 3 minutes like AARP did. And as also, I'm a public member of Commission on Aging and as a conservative Alaskan. I will be speaking in all those capacities. Commission on Aging has voted to oppose HB 60. My initial vote was abstain, but changed to yes on the motion to oppose. As a strong supporter of the governor, I did so very reluctantly. And this weekend, I asked my AMAC membership to give me their thoughts. By a wide margin, they supported HB 60 and the governor. With the following new information as well, I now fully support HB 60 as their president. Here are our main concerns on this issue, as well as the total budget fight now going on. The House majority, made up predominantly by Democrats and RINOs, are for big government. New Democrats held the CBR vote over then the Republican majority's head, even when they were trying hard to responsibly reduce the budget and needed a smaller amount from the CBR to balance. What you did time and again was to add back spending
who leveraged that vote. Thus, the CBR is at $1.7 billion, and you threw away $14 billion, so we're now almost bankrupt. This opposition to HB 60 is a full-on political assault using all tactics, fears, and lies. Because the truth is, with the governor's budget, our financial house will be in order, and the PFD is intact. Those very same seniors that you supposedly are so concerned about actually will get more in a month with a full PFD than now getting with senior benefits. $3,100 a year, PFD equals $258 a month. Pass HB 60 and the entire governor's budget, full PFD, which will float all boats, not only give each Alaskan financial stability, but a state that can finally come out of a four-year recession created by this legislature and an ex-governor more inclined towards huge government and socialism than and the republic our state and national founding fathers created. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we ask one question? What AMAC is?
Don't do it. Okay. I have, hold on a second. I have Patrick Curtis on the line from Anchorage. Mr. Curtis, are you with us?
I am. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, sir. Name and affiliation, and go ahead. You have 2 minutes.
Patrick Curtis. I'm Programs Director at the Anchorage Senior Activity Center. I appreciate the opportunity to provide testimony. I want to share that adjectives like vulnerable and vital don't convey the stories individuals share face-to-face. In working with some of these seniors affected by the senior benefit, if it were repealed, sitting across the table conveys the actual physical and emotional stresses of poverty and hardship. There clearly needs to address budget issues, but I think HB 60 would be one of the wrong choices. I really strongly urge you to reject this bill and come out in strong favor of those that founded our state. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the brevity. All right. I have Ann Dorpinghaus in Fairbanks. Ann, are you with us?
I am. Thank you.
Yes. Name and affiliation, and you have 2 minutes, ma'am. Go ahead.
My name is Ann Dorpinghaus. I'm calling from Fairbanks, speaking for myself. I've been a nurse in this community for 26 years, 12 of those I spent in elder care, and I'm now working with vulnerable children and families in times of crisis. I wanted to say that seniors are major supports for families. They provide shelter for children and grandchildren when jobs or relationships change. They support opportunities. They feed grandkids. They take them in times of trouble. A lot of times it is the elders in families that are the proponents for treatment who help family members through illnesses, and even more so in the rural communities where I have taught in healthcare-related jobs. I know that our elders are fragile and living on low budgets, but they are the positive engines of our economy. When I hear people speak against big government, I want to say that the alternative to government is a living wage for families, supports for seniors, so that we can, in fact, be there for each other. And in my experience, the seniors, many of the elders I know, put their families first, and they never say no to their grandkids when those kids need food and shelter. So I ask you to oppose HB 60 and to strengthen our state's position moving forward. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you very much, ma'am. All right. Next, I have Jonathan Strong in Kodiak. Mr. Strong, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Name and affiliation. And you have 2 minutes, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair and committee members. My name is Jonathan Strong with Senior Citizens of Kodiak. And a few months ago, I assisted a 65-year-old senior with a developmental disability apply for the senior benefit for the very first time. Before receiving the senior benefit, this person could not afford basic personal needs, like chapstick, lotion, weather-appropriate clothing. Before the senior benefit, this person had not had a haircut in several years. And so definitely on this person's behalf and senior citizens of Kodiak, we do not support HB 60. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the brevity. Karen Cameron in Anchorage, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. Name and affiliation on the record, and you have 2 minutes, Karen. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is old. I received the $76 a month from the senior benefit program. I'm a fourth generation Alaskan, and I worked hard all my life. I was a regional administrator for 20 years for Los Angeles County. I was making six figures and had a very nice life. I became ill a few years ago, and illness can be very expensive. Over a period of time, I lost my savings, my investments, my home. I am not able to work now, but I'm always looking for work. The $76 is like a lifeline to me every time I wait for it and am excited to go to my mailbox and open up the mailbox and feel nothing but gratitude for that. But even with that $76, I have not been able to afford my medications the past couple of years. I'm $25 more a month to be eligible for Medicaid. I have $25 more a month coming in than, so I'm not eligible for Medicaid. You know, right now I have like top ramen, you know, to eat until another week and a half. I can't afford to go to the senior activity since I helped them 3 or 4 years ago do the legal structure so that we could change things and get accredited. And now I can't even go there because I can't afford the money. I gave up my dog because I can't afford vet care. I live with about 400 other seniors, and about half of them receive the bonus also. And the sadness amongst these people and what people go without is just tragedy. And these people are so good. Everybody shares as much as they can. And
please wrap up, Ms. Cameron.
I have an experience to be with these people. And when I started hearing that the governor was going to cut this out, people just don't come out of their rooms anymore.
Ms. Cameron, please wrap up.
Thank you. That's all.
Thank you very much. Next, I have Gordon Glazier at the in Anchorage. Mr. Glazier, are you with us?
Yes, sir. My name is Gordon Glazier. I live in Anchorage. I'm speaking representing the Anchorage Senior Activity Center.
Thank you, Mr. Glazier. Go ahead. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to talk to you. While the Anchorage Senior Activity Center has not taken official position, we are not presently circulating a letter of support opposing repeal of Senate Bill 60, repealing the senior benefits program. You should have that response by Friday afternoon. Let me go over a couple points which have not been covered so far, so I don't repeat. There are other sources of support for those people who are older. However, most of them are exhausted. At the Anchorage Senior Activity Center, we have about 70% of our people who are on sliding scale because they're below the federal poverty guidelines. Those people don't have another source. And I want to speak to a sort of a larger question in terms of planning and direction. And that is, when you're at the bottom of the hole, the best policy is to stop digging. Many of these people, which has already been explained, are on the very edge of survival. And this may or may not put them over the edge. I think before we move to reduce the resources of those people who are on the edge, we need to have some understanding of the consequences. Moving blindly is not good public policy, and hope is not a plan that some will find some other way. So thank you for your time. Thank you for the opportunity. And again, I'm confident you will have a letter of support opposing repeal of the senior benefit program by close of Friday. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Glazier. I'm sorry we don't have time for questions this morning. We have too many people on the line. Next, I'd like to go to George Pierce in Kasilof. Mr. Pierce, are you with us? Mr. Pierce in Kasilof, are you with us?
Yes, ma'am, I
Miriam, and good morning to everybody, and thanks for taking my testimony.
Yes, good morning, sir. You have 2 minutes.
You have some pretty sad people calling in about this. No on HB 60, and it's sad and shameful what this is doing. You know, legislators, it's your job to protect the people. Reducing the payments will drive seniors to go onto welfare. I've lived here for 30 years and spent all my money right here. Senior benefits help with food and medication. Stop funding nonprofits and go after the oil taxes and cut their subsidies. Our PFD was taken. That was bad for us seniors. And us seniors are a revenue. It's the lowest you can go, taking from the poor and needy. You give billions to oil company incentives, and you can't give a couple $1 million to senior benefits? Sad and shameful. These people are already in poverty. Why would you hurt them more? Put the bill into the trash and do the right thing. We are number 4 out of 50 states in millionaires. Go after that money and tax them. And stop taxing and hurting the poor and the needy. Go after the oil companies, people. That's where the money is. Thanks for taking my testimony and have a good day.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Ida Nelson in Igiagig. Ida Nelson, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Madam Chair. This is Ida Nelson calling from Igiagig. I am in opposition of HB 60. I am not in favor of reducing or taking away our elders' lifeline. I help my elders here in the village, and with the money that they get, they are able to pay for their heating oil, they're able to pay for food, and being able to have the ability to live independently. And by approving HB 60, you'll be removing their independence and enabling them to live as they are today. Thank you very much for your time today. You have a good day. Thank you for taking my testimony.
Thank you very much, Ms. Nelson. I have Paul Sherry in Fairbanks. Mr. Sherry, are you with us? Yes, sir. Please put your name and affiliation on the record and go ahead. You have 2 minutes.
Sure. Thank you very much. My name is Paul Sherry. I've lived in Alaska off and on for 45 years, and I'm a resident of Fairbanks. I'm a retired health care administrator. I'm opposing HB 60. I'm supporting the senior benefits program. I've worked with a lot of agencies here in Fairbanks on ways to support our growing number of seniors. There's a huge number of demands that are not really met by either the state or federal government that we're struggling to meet and address. I want to note that among the people I work with, a lot of them are the seniors are making $1,300 a month, maybe $16,000 a year, trying to live on that kind of money. I know there's administrators they're in the room that are making 10 times that money, and it's discouraging to me that in order to balance the budget, we're focusing on the seniors, the kids, the students, the isolated residents of the state. It's, as other people have said, it's pretty discouraging. For many of these people, a senior benefit of $175 a month, that's $2,000 a year. It's 15% of the income that they're living on. And I think any family struggling, looking at how am I going to cut my expenses 15% next year if this income fades. I guess, so I want to support the continuation of the program. Somebody said, well, everybody will get a bigger dividend. I don't know, you know, another $1,500 in dividends doesn't offset $2,100 in senior benefits. So to me, there's plenty of revenue out there to cover this. I think you just need to right the ship that the new governor has tipped on its side. I appreciate the opportunity to comment on the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Right now I'm going to take a brief break from testimony. Representative Christ Tompkins needs to leave, and he has a comment to make before departing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I really appreciate the public testimony. Frankly, this angers me, this proposal. I think it's unconscionable. And further, I think just proposing it to some extent is unconscionable. The amount of uncertainty and stress this causes Alaska's most vulnerable, I think is unacceptable. And similar to the manner in which the administration has proposed rolling out price increases on the Pioneer Home, I've heard from residents who have stopped eating because of the amount of stress, you know, that has imposed on them. And I think we've heard just little anecdotes from people around Alaska who are feeling similar stress and uncertainty. So I'm deeply disappointed by this proposal. Even though it will not pass the legislature, I can state that as a fact. I don't know what the governor's line item veto pen is going to do. That's between him and Alaskans. But I think even putting this forward is deeply, deeply disappointing.
Thank you, Representative. All right, we'll return to testimony. I have Vicki Jo Kennedy in Juneau. Ms. Kennedy, are you with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Name and affiliation on the record, and you have 2 minutes. Go ahead, please.
Yes, ma'am. Vicki Jo Kennedy. My name is Kodiak, but I'm here in Juneau. Okay, so you've heard a lot of testimony this morning, and I just want to add to please look harder at the Adult Public Assistance Program. That is a program that is open to just about anybody, and I have witnessed abuse in that program. But this program for the seniors is strictly for seniors. And since I've reached that age where I could qualify, I was also going to look at this program. But I'm in total opposition to doing away with this. And here's my biggest reason why. Because a nation or a state that forgets its seniors will soon be forgotten itself. And I thank you for having these hearings. And thank God we live in a country where we have the right to do things like this. So thank you very much. And please repeal that bill. Don't let it go. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Kennedy. Appreciate it. Nikki Pollack in Bethel. Nikki, are you with us?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me testify this morning. I want to speak in opposition to House Bill 60 from a personal and professional opinion. I'm the Director of Senior Services here in Bethel. We serve about 117 elders Monday through Friday. The last 6 months, we've helped 42 elders with information assistance and referral. And many of them, we refer to public assistance and assist them in signing up for senior benefits. I know firsthand the importance of the senior benefits that these elders, you know, utilize these funds to help pay for their most basic needs. We live in Bethel where the cost of water is about $9.50 a gallon of water. Think about that, $9.50 a gallon of water for if you get your water hauled. If you get 2,000 gallons of water a month and you pay $240, it's about $9.50 a gallon roughly. These elders need these funds to help meet the most basic needs of their lives, to help maintain and improve their lives. Without these senior benefits, I know many elders would go hungry. I know many elders would not have the funds to pay for water or sewer or electricity. It would exacerbate current health disparities from the lack of washing hands, lack of, you know, clean drinking water. The senior benefits program is of the utmost importance. We must take care of our elders. They have done, you know, what they've done to get to become elders. You know, we need to be able to support them financially. I've spoken in the past in support of the senior benefits program.
I know firsthand the impact, the significant impact, the positive impact that this program has on our elders. And, you know, for the amount that we could help the elders stay out of long-term care, prevent premature or permanent institutionalization in a long-term care facility, you know, with some of these other programs like the nutrition transportation.
Please summarize, Ms. Pollack.
Yes. I just want to put, like, you know, just put it on the record that I wholeheartedly support the senior benefits program, and doing away with it is totally not the right thing to do.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate your testimony this morning. We'll go to the Sitka LIO. I have Matt Donahue on the line. Mr. Donahoe, are you with us?
Good morning. Thanks for the chance to testify. My name's Matt Donahoe. I've been a resident in Alaska for 46 years. I'm a small boat fisherman here in Sitka, and I've been a small boat fisherman for, I don't know, 40 years. A lot of the things that are going on in the state right now are hurting us. And my fleet, the troll fleet, which is a hook and line fleet, we target salmon, are being hurt by the taking away from the communities of the raw fish tax. So, you know, we're going to have to pay more for moorage. Now, in the 46 years I lived in Alaska, I never filed for anything, you know, not unemployment, not any kind of assistance in any way. But last year, for the first time ever, I applied for senior benefits. I'll be 70 this summer, and my income is going. My retirement plan had been to fish, you know, in my little boat and just keep making income. But with the policies the state of Alaska has followed, and with the recent salmon treaty, now there's over 1,000 families that depend on trolling for their income. And most of those, you know, over half of them are grain, the grain of the fleet. This, I know quite a few other fishermen who have applied for the senior benefit, and it's crucial to make the bottom line. And it's also based on your gross income. So I'm opposed to this bill, and I thanks for the chance to testify. And it is. I don't know. I've heard some really tragic stories. That one lady, Mrs. Cameron. I thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate your testimony this morning. All right. I have I have several people in the room. I believe we are finished with the LIOs around the state and off net. Next, Jamie Anderson with AARP in the room. Are you here? Jane Andreen, I'm sorry. Looks like we got you wrong on the list. Jane, please come forward. You know the drill. You have 2 minutes.
Hello, my name is Jane Andreen, and I'm a volunteer with AARP. I'm also chair of the Juneau AARP Community Action Team. Just want to say very briefly, when we went through this last year of getting the sunset legislation extended, we heard a lot of stories. But what we're really focused on, especially within AARP, is to have seniors be able to age in place with the highest quality of life and at the lowest level of expense. There's a continuum of care that takes place as seniors age. And when we can keep people independent in their own homes, the longer we can with the highest level of quality of life, the better off everybody is. By investing at this end of the continuum, that low end, we, in essence, save ourselves a whole lot of money. It's a lot more expensive to go into assisted living and nursing care. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your testimony this morning. Next, I have Denise Daniello, and I understand there's a few more people at the Anchorage LIO. I will be getting to you this morning. Thank you. Good morning, Denise. Name and affiliation, and you have 2 minutes, ma'am. Thank you.
Great, thank you. And I'm going to be brief because you've heard so much great testimony. My name is Denise Daniello, and I'm the executive director for the Alaska Commission on Aging. The commission is a governor-appointed board. under the Department of Health and Social Services that plans services for seniors, educates Alaskans about senior issues, and then makes recommendations to policymakers about senior needs. So our views represent those of the commission and not necessarily reflect those of the administration. We have submitted our written testimony to you, so you have that. We do not support passage of HB 60. When we did a senior survey in preparation for the next Alaska State Plan for Senior Services, we just completed that survey. We found that concern about financial security was the number two issue of people in Alaska who took the survey, and this represented people age 55 years and older. There were 3,117 people who completed that survey statewide. So financial worry is a big concern for seniors. The commission has supported the senior benefits program over the years. We have supported the reauthorization as well as when the program was originally established in 2007. We believe that this program is good public policy that helps people to afford their basic essentials. It helps to support their dignity, self-determination, and in the long run saves money in terms of health care and long-term care costs. So I thank you for providing opportunity to testify today for many people who believe senior benefits is a really good program. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Danielle. We appreciate your testimony. Aaron Walker, Walken-Tolis. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Name and affiliation, and you have 2 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Aaron Walker-Tolis. I'm Executive Director of Catholic Community Service, a faith-based regional nonprofit serving all of Southeast Alaska with health care and social services. We have 11 senior centers and serve over 3,000 seniors every single year with congregate meals, Meals on Wheels, transportation services, case management, and a variety of other services. I'm also United Way of Southeast Alaska board member. Thank you for the opportunity to talk today. My association with senior benefits has been very long, but the thing I wanted to share today is that I have been more recently, just the last couple weeks, to Sitka, Ketchikan, and of course the Juneau Senior Centers, and the seniors I've talked to are distraught. They're terrified. I had a number of seniors tell me that already they don't have money to buy meat, that the only meat they eat and the only hot meal they have every day is at the senior center, and that if they do this, they're not going to be able to buy food at all, and they're concerned about homelessness. This is not a single individual that I'm talking about. Many seniors have expressed this to me. They're terrified, and I think rightly so. I think that I totally understand our budgetary crisis and the need to balance the budget. I think we need to be creative and talk PFD. But ultimately, I think the bottom line is that not only is it morally wrong to balance the budget on the backs of the most vulnerable in our communities, but also when you think long term, we're only going to see savings for a short time as these seniors decline due to poor nutrition, due to homelessness, due to lack of being able to afford medication and heat. And we're going to have those expenses transferred to our health care and our social service systems within the next couple of years. You're not going to see cost savings. You're not going to accomplish what you want. You're only going to hurt people if this goes forward. So I really want to speak strongly in opposing this bill and encourage you to consider the long-term thinking in terms of our entire vulnerable people and our social and health care system. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Thank you, ma'am. Perfect. All right. Carolyn, hold on a second. Okay. Carolyn Demert, are you in the room? Yes, ma'am. Please come forward. Good morning. Place your name and affiliation on the record, and you have 2 minutes. Go ahead.
My name is Tuwu Hauk. I am Wesson AD, and I'm from Cape Kwan. Otherwise, my other name is Caroline Demert. And I'm speaking for a lot of our people. I watched my grandmother and my mother live their age where they collected senior benefits. I returned to Alaska because I feel this would help me. Because any place else in the world that I've tried to live with, we do not get any other benefits. A lot of our people now, as the lady from Catholic Society has said, that is the only hot meal they get. I've lived in the communities. I lived in Wrangell, Ketchikan, and here in Juneau, down in Cape, in Hoonah, and I says a lot of people don't get the extra money because they don't qualify. $1 more that you get on any other money, you can disqualify from the senior benefits. But I see this helps our people. And I would like to see the government live out the money that we have. Believe me, I've worked four jobs just to take care of my four kids and raise them. And this is why I returned to Alaska. I'm a full-blooded Tlingit, and I believe that all our people should get this help. I do not discriminate anybody or towards anybody that gets lives because we're gracious, because we do have this extra money that I call it. And I do call it our old lady benefits. I said, because it feeds a lot of people. This primarily is taken, that money that we get is taken to buy our food. By the end of the month, a lot of people don't have food. And cutting all the other benefits that they're cutting is wrong. We're all brought here, we're all taught your education in our schools. And now we're losing too many benefits at all, but this one really is going to hurt a lot of people. A lot of our people are still alive because we can help take care of each other. But once we're given something to live on, why take it away? I would like to see any of you live here off $1,000 a month and pay your rent and all your utilities. This is what we are brought in to live off. And we get tired of having to try to survive with what little pennies anybody can have. We keep our change jars, so we might need a loaf of bread.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate your testimony this morning. I have one more in Juneau, and then we'll return to the Anchorage LIO. Ann Stepatin, are you here? Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Ann Stepatin. I work for the Elders Program at Tlingit and Haida. I was gracious enough to be blessed with the presence of these three people sitting here in the front. They are my elders that I serve and work for along with. We do a Thursday lunch every week, and excuse my emotion. Last week I had an elder come in and he said, I sure appreciate you guys doing this weekly lunch because by the end of the month I have no money and I can't feed myself. So he was so happy to learn about our lunch so he could come have lunch at the end of the month because he had no more money. I work in a world where if one of my elders gets sick and they have to go buy cough syrup or they have to go buy cough drops or Kleenex, anything like that, it puts them out of food for a week. That's the world I work in, and I try to make sure I'm here to hold up my elders. Sometimes it comes out of our own pockets because we feel so bad and we can't give it out of our grant money that we have at my job. But we are looking for alternative ways to help our elders because of these things that are coming down from the state. But I wanted to speak today to let you know that I strongly oppose this bill and that it does feed a lot of people and keep them from hunger. There are people who may become homeless because they can't pay their bills anymore after this is gone. So I strongly oppose it. And I speak for, I only serve the elders in Juneau, but I do hear from elders from Washington that are tribal citizens from Washington, are tribal citizens. There's one where my finance department couldn't get $250 to an elder fast enough in Washington, and she went without food for a week because we couldn't help her that week. For 1 week, she had no food. I don't know how she did it or how she survived, but there was a holdup in our finance department that made that happen. And did we feel bad? Yes, but we still have our procedures and policies to follow also. And so I strongly oppose this because it does keep many, many seniors afloat. And thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak this morning.
Thank you, Ms. Stepatin. Really appreciate your testimony. We're going to return to the Anchorage LIO. I believe we have just enough time to hear everybody. Barbara Bolton, are you on the line with us?
Speaking.
Yes, ma'am. Put name and affiliation on the record, and you have 2 minutes. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Barbara Bolton. I'm representing myself. I'm a senior. I've lived here in Anchorage for 12 years now, and I love this state. I love the people here, and I've made a number of friends since I've been a senior and worked through the senior programs here. I just want to lodge my opposition to House Bill 60. And I'd like to say that I'm kind of representative of seniors my age, and I live at the poverty level. My income, like I said, is kind of representative of, you know, the average senior, but I try to do the best I can, and I feel like that $76 is not just something, you know, that we're given as a gift. That $76 can mean eating, transportation, medications for a lot of seniors, having to do with or without having that money is very important. And just to state again, I oppose House Bill 60. And I thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate your brevity. All right. Mary Alice Knotts in Anchorage. Are you with us, ma'am?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead and you have 2 minutes, ma'am.
I do have a speaking issue, so I'm not crying yet, although it does sound like it. I'm really opposed to cutting these benefits. I recall in the 70s when we fought hard to get our first senior building built, Chugach View, Chugach Manor. I happen to work on those committees that fought really hard because our seniors were leaving Alaska and going elsewhere. So we have fought really hard all these years to maintain and to improve senior benefits so that seniors remain here in the state of Alaska rather than being forced to move outside. For medical reasons, I had to go outside for a while and get part of that resolved. And I say I returned to age out. And to hear that we still, I just recently returned, just in time to vote, to hear that we are still battling the people with money in their pockets to keep our seniors fed and housed is sad indeed. What is wrong? Look at our dresses, our governor, and our legislation on these days. Maybe they need to be giving, sharing those with some of our seniors so we don't care what happens to people either. Obviously, I oppose this bill greatly. It needs to be cremated immediately. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate your testimony. Indiana Turkisher in Anchorage. Are you with us, ma'am?
Yes, I am. My name is Indiana Turkisher, and I am the SNAP Outreach Manager at the Food Bank of Alaska. So a huge part of my job is helping people apply for SNAP benefits, obviously, but we also help people apply for a myriad of other benefits, and one of those is senior benefits. And when you talk to seniors on the ground about what they use their senior benefits for, it's typically things like food and medication and transportation to medical appointments and buying food that they might not be able to buy with other resources because they are on dietary restrictions due to illnesses. And the threat of senior benefits being cut means that having access to those other other things like better health care is going to be greatly reduced. My own mother is going to be, she'll be eligible for the senior benefits program in 2 years. And as a sixth generation Alaskan myself, when I look at how we treat our seniors, it's also an investment in our own future. You know, I would like to be able to stay here for the duration of my life and age into this state as well. But when I see how we prioritize seniors right now, it makes me question whether or not this is a place that I want to stay, and this is a place that I want my mother to be able to stay as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Appreciate your testimony this morning. Teresa McLean in Anchorage, are you there, ma'am?
I am.
Yes, name and affiliation on the record, and you have 2 minutes. Go ahead.
My name is Teresa McLean. I'm representing myself. I live in a large community of senior and disabled people here in Anchorage. And if you'll bear with me, I'm feeling so upset by the senior benefits cuts, which are putting my health at grave risk. I do want to articulate that. I come from a career military family. Service to one's country and community was a very strong value in this family. So I've contributed to my family and my community, and I consider my community to be the world because I traveled a lot as a child and I met people from all over. And I value all kinds of people. So bear with me. I'm speaking to you hungry because I didn't have food this morning. Throughout my childhood and adulthood, I have contributed to my community, running the household, taking care of my brothers and my sick mother while my career military U.S. Marine father was an inspector general of the Pacific Rim in Vietnam, making sure soldiers' weapons were in working order. Due to my father coming home traumatized, I developed PTSD myself, and that's why I am on disability. Having seen the suffering of war, I have chosen to live my life in a very modest means way to not be one of the greedy people taking resources from others, being a source of war. I value humane values and people values. I'm going to cry. Sorry. I moved to Alaska to be near my daughter, son-in-law, and grandchildren. And I feel as an elder, I have a lot to offer. I highly valued education, which was taught to me in my family, which is why we were a military family, to have a wide range of experience to be able to contribute to our communities. I have
Ms. McLean, please summarize, Ms. McLean.
I completely oppose this bill. Feel it is not at all a creative way or a resourceful way to use one of Alaska's best resources of wise and experienced people who have a lot to offer in guidance towards grandchildren and our adult children as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. I have one more person in Anchorage, and we have done this very well, folks. William Harrington, are you on the line with us in Anchorage?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. William Harrington, chairperson and committee members who have had the stamina to stay. I'm 70 years old. I spend $80,000 a year living here helping support 5 grandchildren. I would not qualify for senior benefits and do feel strongly that those in their last years deserve a full stomach and a safe accommodation. For such a rich state as this, which has wasted hundreds of millions of dollars on a pipe dream, it is a travesty to even consider this TMA proposal. $800,000 is what I would spend in Alaska over the next 10 years if I live, if I stay here. Or not. You're not making it very easy for me to want to stay and spend that money here. I was talking to a fellow the other day, and I says, well, we don't know things way beyond where they are if the state population is going to be 700 or 800 or 600 in 5 or 10 years. The guy looked at me and said, maybe it'll be 300. Have a nice day. Bye.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your testimony. That, I believe, that ends our testimony this morning. That is the close of public testimony. Any comments from the committee before we put this bill to rest? Representative Jackson, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our seniors laid the road for us all to be here today, and I don't believe we're going to have homeless seniors or hungry seniors. As Rep. Tompkins said, he is appalled by this bill. We have 8 freshman legislators, 3 which sits in this committee. This didn't just happen in January.
What appalls me is we did not have the foresight to prevent us from being where we are today. Thank you all that have testified. We love you, and everything's going to be okay. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Jackson. Any further comments? Representative Hannon, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As all of us, we're pretty emotional about this topic, and I want to thank all of the people who took the time this morning, skipped their breakfast to be with us, drove across Anchorage, carpooled, to come remind us that the people we're talking about that receive these benefits are the most vulnerable seniors, and the margins of economic assurance that we give them are so small. And although to each of us individually, the $25 million that this program would cost by its fiscal note over the next 5 years is small, to us individually, that's a lot of money. But to the state, with the wealth we have and the money we spend on other things, it's fractional. And these are people that every dollar they receive is spent locally. They're not taking trips. They're not snowbirding. They're not going to Hawaii with their grandchildren. They're spending their money to survive in Alaska. For 31 years, we had a longevity bonus program that was not based on an economic need. And we started providing services to elders to incentivize their ability to stay in Alaska in 1972, before we had large piles of free oil money. And in the early 2000s, we did away with that program and said, we're going to make it needs-based. And we've now made it such a narrow needs base that is truly people who are at the margins of despair. Rep. Jackson and I have been appointed to serve on the State Suicide Council. And one of the things that sometimes people don't realize when we talk about suicide, that there's two groups at sort of both extremes of the age spectrum that suffer from the highest risk of suicide. Young people struggling to find their way in the world, and people at the end of their life, in their aging years, who end their lives early because they see no hope and despair. And that's one of the mental stressors that we know aggravates suicide ideation, finding isolation and despair from each other's. And I can't imagine a senior who receives senior benefits in Alaska and maybe contemplated someday going into the Pioneer Home as the next stop and seeing what we're doing with that program and proposing it. And I feel like they're being used as a political pawn, because we know this is not a program that has any other funds. It is a program Alaska set out to give to Alaskans. There's no federal receipts for it. It is general fund money, because Alaska committed to other Alaskans that we want to be able to keep people here through their lifespan, not just through their economic earning years. And if we don't take care of the most vulnerable at the end of their years, then we have done nothing as a state to preserve our wealth. I hope that we do not allow the political pawn to go any further, and that we can assure these seniors we will make sure that the marginal economic benefits we share with them is guaranteed.
Thank you, Representative Hannon. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I think I heard you correctly, and I hope I did, that when we gavel out today, we're going to put this bill to rest.
Thank you, sir. You heard me correctly. We're just in time to gavel out, and I do want to reiterate to all that are listening and all that are in the room that I do not intend for this bill to travel any further. It would have been helpful to hear from the commissioner on his position on this bill. It would also have been helpful to hear from the department as to their estimate of the costs that removing these funds from these vulnerable folks would generate in additional costs to this state. I have a feeling, without even having to do the math, that it would far outweigh the $25 million that we're currently spending. On that note, our next House Community and Regional Affairs meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, April 9th. At 8 a.m. in this room. Thank you very much.